Welcome to On the Way with Tony Crisp. Each weekday, Dr. Crisp will be discussing biblical passages, people, places, and prophecies. Tune in daily to start your day right and deepen your understanding of how to better walk the way and enjoy the journey. Here's your host, Dr. Tony Crisp.
Welcome to On the Way. This is Tony Crisp, and this is Podcast 1082. Today, we're doing an overview of the book of Philippians. It is a tremendous book. Down through the decades, God has used this book to encourage my heart, to build me up, to help me to understand who He is, His plan for my life. He has rescued me many times from snares by just simply reading through the book of Philippians. It is a book that stresses joy more than any other book in the New Testament. It is a book of joy, of rejoicing. And as you read through it, you have to keep in mind where the Apostle Paul was and where he was writing from. He was in prison. Yes, he was under house arrest and he could come and go, receive visitors. However, when you're under arrest, you're under arrest. When you're in prison, you're in prison. And even though it wasn't a dungeon like the Mamertine dungeon that came later, this was a time when the Apostle Paul was incarcerated and he could not do as he pleased, not only in Rome, but also in traveling and sharing the gospel. But the Apostle Paul took lemons and made lemonade. He really did, because while he was there, he wrote the prison epistles. He no doubt led many to faith in Jesus and to trusting Him. And so let's look at the book of Philippi as a whole, as far as where it all took place. If you have never been to Philippi, you must go with me one day. If you cannot go with me, go with someone who knows the area very well. But this valley where Philippi is storybook beautiful. It is a wonderful historical place. It was founded by King Philip of Macedonia, the Macedon, he was called. He founded this. The Romans made it a colony, which is the highest level of any of their cities. As a colony, the citizens, they could own land. They could transfer property. They could file civil lawsuits. They could do so many things. As far as taxes, they were exempt from a lot of the taxes that the rest of the cities and the places where Rome had its iron fist would be taxed. I'm telling you, when you were a colony, you were a special type of city. And there were several in the New Testament that we read about that were colonies. Corinth was a colony. They had so many advantages. Now, colonies during the days of the Caesars from Augustus on were places really where troops, people who had been in the Roman army, were sent to settle so that they could really have an outpost, I think, more than anything else, and could develop the area where they were sent and where the colony was developed, where that they could intermarry with the people and Romanize them. And this is really what a colony was all about. And so there were a lot of soldiers there and people who had served in the military who were very loyal to Rome. And so when a city was made a colony, then it was something that was special. And so this was a beautiful place. It was in a beautiful valley, not far from the Mediterranean, that is from the Aegean part of the Mediterranean. Neapolis and that area, it's just spectacular. The Ignatian Way, one of the ancient main travel routes through what is Greece and Macedonia, was there. You can still see it in so many places alongside the road, the main street in Philippi itself. I want to encourage you to go there. It is just a wonderful place to study and to research. God has allowed me by His grace to be there on more than one occasion and to study and to really just take time there to do what needs to be done as far as research. But also, I want to just go to where we find it in the book of Acts, chapter 16, the significant events that took place there, of course, with the salvation of the Philippian jailer. But that's where also we find something that if you don't know the background of the Jewish people, again, this is where you have some difficulty understanding the why behind. But if you'll recall, this is the first convert on European soil, Lydia was. She was a Jewess. She was someone who was praying by a riverside with other women primarily. You see, there was no synagogue there in Philippi. That means that there were not even 10 Jewish men that could get together as a minyan and pray and develop a synagogue, a Beit Knesset, a gathering place. And this is fascinating to me because the Apostle Paul is now into new territory. There wasn't even enough there for him to even deal with a synagogue as he normally did, so he just took what God gave him. Now, I'm telling you, I could sit down right here and talk a while about opportunities that God gives us when things don't work out as we thought they were going to. There was no synagogue there, so Paul's normal routine of going into a synagogue and speaking with the Jew first was not there, so he found the Jews that were there, and they were not primarily men, although I'm sure some were in the city. But he took what God gave him, and out of that came some of the greatest ministry that the Apostle Paul had. As a matter of fact, the people at Philippi who were followers of Jesus were some of the poorest, even though it was a wealthy city. They were some of the poorest of all of the followers of Jesus in the Greco-Roman world. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul, when he was writing to the Corinthians, said those in Macedonia became examples to everyone else because they were poverty-stricken, yet they gave more than anyone else. And the Apostle Paul encourages them in chapter 4 of this letter to the Philippians, and he reminded them that God was able to meet all of their needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. He was able to show them that he himself, Paul, could do with or without wealth. And that is where he stated that whatever state he was in, he was content. And he was not talking about a location of a place. He was talking about a state of being. He was talking about whether he had a lot of money and provision, or whether he had little. He had learned to be abased, to do without, and to do with little. He had learned to live with more than he needed, and to be able to share and to give to others. What I'm telling you is the book of Philippians is a book that will speak to your heart, not only doctrinally. One of the greatest passages on Christology is in chapter 2. Chapter 3 talks to us about what is important, the Apostle Paul's pedigree, his background, his Jewishness, his determination to sell out to Jesus and to press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling, the upward calling in Christ Jesus. Then chapter 4, again, I've already referenced it, but chapter 4, verse 6 is one of the classic passages in the book of Philippians because it deals with what almost everyone has to battle at one time or another, and that is worry. The Apostle Paul said, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Now, let me, if I could, just break that down for you, just in summary fashion. If I was translating this out of the Greek text, I would translate it something to this effect. Please stop worrying about anything. Don't worry about anything. But in every situation, in everything, you need to pray. Pray generally. Just be praying. Pray in the evening, pray in the morning, pray at noontime, and let that prayer and then specific request rise out of thanksgiving and the gratitude you have in your heart for all that God is to you, all that he's blessed you with, and the opportunities that he's given you. Never forget to give thanks. And whatever you do, you need to understand that when you make your specific request to God and you're praying out of a heart of thanksgiving, that God is faithful and he will give you peace, his peace, the peace of God. You already have peace with God. And this surpasses all human comprehension. It doesn't make sense, even to you sometimes. It doesn't make sense to the rest of the world when things happen that would cause anyone to worry and to fret and to be disturbed. You're at total peace because the peace of God has surrounded you. And God promises He will garrison your heart. He will set up a guard to watch over you. What a promise of God that passage is. But my favorite of all of the passages of the book of Philippians is chapter 1 and verse 6, the great promise of God's faithfulness and continuance. Paul said, being confident of this very thing, that He, that is God, who has begun a good work in you, will complete it. He will bring it to completion unto the day of Jesus Christ. Now think about this. First of all, God began a good work. Nobody gets saved in the wrong way. When you get saved, when you are saved, while you're being saved, there is no bad way. God began a good work. God doesn't begin bad works. God doesn't begin works that are incorrect or wrong. God begins a good work in every one of us. And the good work that God started, God has promised He will finish. If God starts with you, He's going to finish with you. Now you say, well, I know people that have gone. You don't know anything. You and I don't know people's hearts. The promises of God are true. If you are truly saved, you're going to make it. It's not a matter of you holding on. It's not a matter of you trying harder. It's a matter of God taking you by the hand, and He's going to bring you to the place where you need to be. You say, well, what about those that go astray? Well, that's God's business, because God knows who's saved, and every child, including you, including me, every child that He receives, every son, every daughter, He disciplines. And sometimes that discipline will cause God to take someone home. That's His business. That's not you. That's not me. That's not our concern. That's way, way above our pay grade to try to say, well, God just took that one home because, no, you don't know that. You don't know a whole lot of things that you think you know. Neither do I. And so what we need to do is trust the hand of a loving, holy, righteous God who is filled with mercy and goodness, but a God of justice. And in Christ Jesus, He is able to take us from where we are to take us to where we need to be. In the book of Romans, when you read Romans 8, 28 and 29, you'll see that everybody that God starts with, He's going to finish with. Everybody. And He loses none along the way. And this is just the grace and mercy of God manifest. The book of Philippians you can read in just a few minutes. I would encourage you not to read it once, but read it over and over again. That the fellowship that Paul talks about, that the joy Paul talks about, that the peace Paul talks about, that God would garrison your heart with it. For On the Way, this is Tony Crisp.
Thanks for listening to On the Way with Tony Crisp. Tune in every weekday for information on biblical passages, people, places, and prophecies. Fridays are for your questions. Email your questions to questions@tonycrisp.org. Then just listen for your question to be answered on Friday's podcast. That's questions@tonycrisp.org. Thanks for listening, and have a blessed day on the way.